Well, good evening. Welcome. We're so excited to see all of you here this evening. It's such a special, special day, especially for Benson, for Marcus, for Jolene. But for all of us, for us as a church family, this is really exciting. But also, by you being here, your friends, your family that are here, you're showing your support. You're showing that you care. And that means a lot. It does for us, but I know it does for them too, especially as they look back on this day. I think you could call this a monumental moment in their lives. This is just that kind of a step. This is also, if I can say this, this is the highlight, one of the highlights of being a pastor, is seeing young men, young women saying, I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to give him my life and not look back on the things that they had lived for before. So I just want to draw your attention to a couple verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here this evening, but I do want to draw our attention to several verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to address two questions that we all wrestle with. That is the question, well, we all wrestle with different questions, big questions, but I don't think there's any question that's bigger than the issue of our identity. Who am I? Who am I? If someone were to ask you, who are you? What's your response? Who am I? And I'm not talking about just as a person, but at the core of my being. Who am I? Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to jump in kind of in the middle here in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So back to that question, the question of our identity. At the core of my being, who am I? Where do I find my value as an individual? Where do I look to find that sense of purpose, that sense of belonging, that sense of identity at the very deepest level of who I am? We all look for this. Every person is looking for this in some place, in some way. We do this in all areas of our lives. We do it, we look for our identity in our level of education, how educated we are. We do it at the level of our finances, how wealthy we are, the kind of car we drive, the kind of decorations we have in our homes, the kind of job you have. All these things we look to try to find our identity, maybe even our family heritage. All these things. But if you think about all these those different areas, and there's many more that I could mention that we could think about, none of them are bad. None of them are wrong. But if we are looking to that alone to find our sense of purpose in this world, our sense of belonging, we're going to be left with this void in our hearts and this sense of something is missing, something is not quite there. There's going to be a longing deep within us for something more. You see, what we were created for, we were created in the image of God to walk in relationship with God, to walk with him, to commune with him. I want us to take us back to the Garden of Eden. Before sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve are in the garden, And in Genesis, the early parts of Genesis, it talks about how God would come and he would walk with them in the cool of the day. They had this deep connection, this sense of communion, this sense of community, this intimate connection with God, completely uninhibited from sin. That's what we were created for. We were created to walk with God, to have that kind of a relationship with him. But we know how the story goes, don't we? Sin entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world, it fractured that relationship with God. And suddenly, there's this wall. Adam and Eve are driven out of the garden, and that communion is broken with God, and they are banished from the garden. They can no longer enter back into the garden. And that communion with God is broken. And since that day, each person who has walked in this world is looking and longing for that in their life. Sometimes we don't know it. That's why we look for it in all these other areas in our lives, because we're not sure what we're looking for. But man, God loves us. That the song we sang, How Deep the Father's Love, he comes looking for us, and he finds us, and he knocks on our heart's door. And we talked about this as we met with these three and the part of their stories. It was so beautiful how God does that, how he comes and he knocks at our heart's door and he longs to come in. But sometimes we wrestle with this idea of sin. Sometimes we wrestle with sin and maybe we confuse it with, so we have these acts of sin. And we recognize that things in our lives that we do are sin, but do we recognize that we are sinners, that we're sinful people? So let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say. So if tonight I go to Wayne's house, I like his truck, so I'm going to go to his house, I'm going to steal his truck. Is that sin? Yeah, it's sin. That's an act of sin. But the sinfulness, what's the sinfulness in me that caused me to want to go steal his truck? There's this, inside of us, there's this sinfulness, this deep sense of I'm going to look out for myself first. And out of that flows my desire to covet his truck, so I'm going to steal his truck. Or what about gossip? We do it with gossip. Gossip is sin. But what causes me to gossip? What is the sinfulness in me that causes me to gossip? It's this desire to look out for myself. If I make them look bad, I can look a little bit better. But you see that the difference from committing acts of sin, which we recognize readily, but do we readily recognize the sinfulness of our own hearts? See, Jesus, thankfully God doesn't leave us there in that place of brokenness. In the song that we sang that I referenced, How Deep the Father's Love, Jesus came and he died on the cross. He suffered cruelly for my sin and bears the weight of my sin, the punishment for our sins, each one of us, on the cross. But not only for the acts of sin that I commit, but for the sinfulness that is so deep within me. He comes and he takes that. And what these three have given testimony to already is that through repentance and trust in Jesus, there is forgiveness for sins. And that's why we're here this evening, because they're acknowledging that that has taken place in their lives. And then Paul says, in the text that we read, he says that when that has taken place in our life, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, Paul gives us what I would call a new identity. And he says, in Christ, and he uses that, references to that three different times just in the verses that I read, in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? If you read through the epistles, Paul uses that kind of a reference over 160 different times. He calls us this in Christ. What does it mean for us to be in Christ? It means that we are radically transformed from to the roots of our very being. It means that on the inside, not just the acts of sin that I commit on the outside, but on the inside, I am now radically transformed when I am in Christ. We are made new. And in that new identity that we have in Christ, Paul calls us a new creation. We are no longer the old creation. And Jesus came so that we can again walk in that communion that we had with God in the garden before sin ever came. And I think we recognize that that new creation, making all things new, is not complete here on this earth. But we can walk with God in intimate connection and communion with God in this world because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so Jesus came to make us so that we are in Christ and we get this new identity called a new creation, and not just so that we can be a better person. Sometimes there's a term that I hear used or I've heard used that's like, be a better human. Just like, be better. I'm here to tell us that Jesus didn't come just to make you better or make a better version of Benson. He came to make a new Benson, a new Marcus, a new Jolene, a new you, a new me. He didn't come just to tweak us a little bit, but the old is gone and the new has come. Throughout Scripture, in this, the message of salvation, the terminology of death and resurrection is used over and over and over because it fits so well. Think of, instead of being a caterpillar and just making the caterpillar a little bit nicer, you become a butterfly. Rather than just tweaking the caterpillar, you become something completely new. New life in Christ leads inevitably to a new lifestyle with a new value system and new moral standards. See, the outside begins to change. It does change as a result of the new creation that God has made on the inside. And we often we get that turned around where we just try to tweak the things on the outside. And God is wanting to come and change us from the inside. Romans 6 says this, and this references the baptism, which is tonight is it's a sign, it's a symbol, a sign of what they have done, what has taken place in their lives. Romans 6 says this, are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, in order just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too may walk in newness of life. So tonight, this baptism, it signifies a death that has taken place in your lives, a dying to self. But it also signifies a new life that has come and is springing forth out of you. And the baptism is a sign of that. But it's more than just a sign, I think. It's an identity. It's you are identifying not only to every person that's here and to the world, but also to the spiritual realms. You're identifying who you are. You're saying, I belong to Jesus. I am now a son and a daughter of Christ. And so then out of that new identity, that new creation that God invites us and calls us into, we find a purpose in life. We find what I'm going to call our calling. We all long to have an identity and a purpose. Paul uses the term ambassador. In verse 20 says, therefore, because we have been reconciled to God, we are ambassadors for Christ. This is the calling of every follower of Christ. And it flows out of you first finding your identity in Christ. An ambassador is someone who represents, who lives in a foreign country, but he represents the country of his origin. He's a representative, and he lives in the foreign country, but he is not a citizen of that country. An ambassador is one who goes and he represents the king of his country. You and I belong to the kingdom of Jesus Christ if you're a follower of Him. And our call in life is to represent Him in the world in which we live. Think of back to the things that we tend to get our identities wrapped up in, our jobs, our as a student, whatever it might be, all these things that we tend to find our identities in. When we find our identity in Christ, God takes us and He calls us to go and be His ambassadors in those very places. So in the place that God has called you, where you are working, whether you're a student, where you're a homemaker, wherever it is, your calling is to represent Him and to make His kingdom a reality in the world in which you have influence in. Our words, our actions, our attitudes, our character must embody the King who is not physically present. And so we represent our King. But one of the most powerful ways, I think, that we can represent our King, Jesus, and His kingship in our lives is by our stories. So in just a few minutes, they're going to come up and they're going to share their stories. They're going to tell you and tell us about what God has done in their life. And the most powerful way that you can represent Jesus in your world is to tell the world what God has done in your life. That's the most powerful story or testimony and witness that we can give to the work of Jesus in our lives. And God speaks to us, and because our stories are all unique. Not one of us sitting here tonight has the same story. How we came to trust Jesus as our Savior. All of us, it's different. It happened in different ways. This is something that was really interesting to me as we... So the last couple months, we've had an opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with these three, and also with Brandon, who was baptized last fall, and it was such a good time. But we talked about how we began our journey, our walk with God began, and God came, and everyone's journey began so differently, but God spoke and moved in individual lives, just like He does. It happens for all of us in a very unique way, because God sees all of us as individuals. He doesn't see you just as a lump of a big crowd. He sees every individual here. He sees your character. He sees your personality, your makeup, and He ministers. He speaks to that. So every story is unique, and so don't ever think that the story that you have of what God has done in your life doesn't have impact, because it does. God has given every one of us a story that's unique to us so that we can represent Him in the world of our influence. So let me close with a song, and then these three will get their opportunity to share with you what God has done in their lives. The song, I think the title of the song is If I Told You My Story. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. To tell you my story is to tell of Him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. If I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. Your story is to tell of Jesus. They've been waiting patiently for this opportunity to share with you. As soon as they're done sharing their stories with you, the worship team is going to come. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to move into the baptism. We'll direct you through that whole part of that service. But before they come, can we just pause for just a minute? Let's pray. and then we'll allow them to come up and share with you. Thank you for the work, God, that you are doing in your world. I pray that we as your people would be true ambassadors for you, telling our story so that we can show the world and share with the world the goodness of Jesus, the goodness of God in our lives. I just pray for Marcus, Jolene, and for Benson as they share their stories. I pray that you would just calm their nerves and that they could just share honestly of the work that you have done and are doing in their lives. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.